Okay, we'll start again. Halacha Gimel, we're on page 881 in the English. Or the Chesam and Aleph in the Hebrew. Or Allah? Halacha Gimel. Okay, Ilan Shenaka Vanasel Imai. The tree gets uprooted and the dirt which is surrounding the root system, which he's translating here as the root ball, was with it together. And it was replanted, it was transplanted elsewhere. Stafanav and Hassel Imoy, or if it was sent away by a river and was transplanted elsewhere, if the tree can survive, is potter. Okay? And that means it's not chayiv and arla because it wouldn't be considered planted new. The imlav, but if the dirt that surrounded the root system wasn't adequate to keep the tree alive, then chayiv. Then it would be considered like it's newly transplanted. And a tree, no matter how old it is, if it's transplanted, it starts the arla count all over again. Even though it's not a new plant, it starts arla all over again. So that's the question. You know, this is a trivia question. How do you have arla multiple times on one plant? The teretz is, it's replanted. Very simple. Nekar ha-salamitidoi. Let's suppose it was, let's see, he says here that it was dislodged from the side. What does that mean, it was transplanted? The tree itself was not uprooted, but the compacted earth surrounding the roots were dislodged. So in other words, you had a rush of water, you know, like you have very often in a flood stage, that it displaces the dirt and the roots are exposed, right?
Is that
right. So from the side, yes. Zizato, yeah, you're going to have to replace the dirt. Zizato ha-machrisha, or if the plowshare jolted the root ball, o zizo v'aso ka'ofer, he jolted the root ball and made it loose like sand. So, new earth later was compacted around the roots in all these cases. So the same rule, in miyachalef his pater, in lav chayv, it's the same rule. If there was enough left that it could live, so then it wouldn't restart.
It wasn't uprooted. In the second set of cases, it wasn't uprooted. The first set of cases.
Well, it's the same exact idea.
Idea, not rule.
What do you mean? What do you
the
mean
first by? Set of cases, it was an uprooted with the root ball intact. The second set of cases, no
yeah, but,
root ball,
but
wasn't
but it's the same. But it's the
yes,
same.
Idea.
Same idea, though.
Of
yeah.
course.
Okay.
Of
course. No. Very good. No argument. If you have a tree completely uprooted, but there's still one single root that still attaches the tree to the ground, potter, it's exempt from arla. Because the fact is that it's still connected. It's still connected. Obviously, it must be talking about that root was enough to keep the tree alive. Because if it wasn't enough to keep the tree alive, we've already established that would not be anything, right?
But,
so hold on. The Kamahiva Sharish. Now we're going to say, how thick must this root be to be considered enough for it to be considered continuously growing, serving only along the Shemavlozabin, it's a certain stretching needle. Don't ask me how thick this is. Whatever it is, it's not very thick, but it's the thickness of this needle. And if it's that thick, that apparently is enough. 14. In order for the tree to be considered continuously growing, the diameter of the remaining root must be the same as the diameter of the needle of a weaver uses to stretch.
He says, whatever the meaning, nowadays we are no longer familiar with this needle.
But if you don't have a measure to make a surface, you fill the space with new dirt and the tree survives, you don't know if the tree is surviving for the new dirt or from the old root. So you have to make that decision when that root is exposed.
Well, what are you saying? I'm not sure what I'm saying. You were answering Eitan's question?
Yes.
What's your answer?
The answer is that you have to know what metric to use to decide if it's still attached. Because
let's suppose this, let's just throw this out, that it's 3 inches. Okay? So
what
if
is,
it, so if, what?
What is 3 inches?
This needle. I'm making it up.
What is the orchard, what's the orchard owner going to do? He's going to fill the space of the dirt that's going to make sure the tree survives.
Yes.
The tree survives. Now you don't. If you didn't measure beforehand, if you didn't.
So hold on a second. Yeah. If you wouldn't have added that dirt, would the tree have survived?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. With that.
I'm asking him that question.
We might get a no because the guy's not going to gamble. The guy who owns the tree is not going to gamble. He's going to fill the thing.
So we're saying now that this is the shear for a tree to survive. That's basically what we're
right.
saying. Okay?
Right.
All right. Fine.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Not
necessarily. That it has nothing to do with the survival. It's just the fact that it's not uprooted.
Yeah.
It's connected. That's it. It has still the...
So how is that not contradicting the first case of the Mishnah then?
If
the first case of the Mishnah, we said that if the water rushes underneath the tree, let's say, and washes away the dirt, so it's clearly still attached to the ground by a lot of roots, but still we say it's only in Yochalichios that it's chayiv. I'm just asking a question.
Yes.
If the water rushes underneath the tree and washes away all the dirt.
Yes.
And there's still some roots attached to the ground.
Yes.
Which is much more than this weaved needle thing.
Yes.
Right? It says in the Reisha that if it cannot survive, it's considered replanted. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so then if that's the case, why don't you just say, well, that's a theory to the next case in the Mishnah. The next case in the Mishnah says that if it's connected with this little 3-inch thing, that it's a 1-inch thing, whatever you want to call it. What is it? How thick is it?
Maybe a millimeter.
Maybe, no, it can't be a millimeter. It's got to be something.
Rambam said a single root with this diameter. It's something where the weaver puts his thread around.
Right.
How thick can it be?
It's not that thick, right? Okay. Well, let's call it an inch, okay?
This is the chiddush of the Rashba. What Rav David said, what Shapsi is saying, is what the Rambam sheet is and the Rashi. He speaks all this out.
Where does he speak that?
In the second paragraph of 14.
So Rambam 8:82. Let's read the second paragraph.
Yeah,
Rambam and Rush explain the single root with this diameter is capable of sustaining the tree. Okay? Accordingly, the rationale for the Mishnah's ruling exempting the tree from Arlo on account of the single root is the same as the rationale in the preceding cases. So there's no contradiction from the ratio to the Sefer.
No.
Everything's
zero.
Consistent.
Yes.
Rashba, Truvis, however, maintains the single root of this size cannot sustain the tree. So, what's nevertheless going to be?
Nevertheless.
It exempts the tree from Arlo because as long as the root remains firmly attached to its original state, it's not deemed to have been uprooted.
It's a special din.
That's
a huge chiddush.
Yeah, but
the mussar.
Okay, what's the mussar?
They're always connected. I
asked everybody to please try to come up with mussar.
Well, that's why I came to the shir. I just postulate a theory that maybe, according to the Rashba, this root is in a particular place. Let's just say, like the very center of the tree.
Yeah.
So it's because you're asking a bam kasha. I don't know how the Rashba gets out of your kasha.
Yeah.
It says in Purish that if it can't sustain, it can't sustain.
Right.
How do you get out of that kasha?
I don't know.
So maybe this is a special root. Maybe a special kind of root in the middle of the tree or something like that, where it, as long as it has that diameter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a qualification of. This is a qualification of the first.
Yeah, he's going to have to learn a hechet timsa in the earlier case where the water washed it away, that there was absolutely no connection whatsoever with a root of this size, which is unbelievable.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, because when I read the Chazanish thing up above, in the previous notes, it sounded like there's two different types of roots. There's the sela, which is this root, or mass
root
of roots, root ball,
root
ball, and then there's the root that connects the sela to the tree. So the sela has to be preserved in order for it to be considered still in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first part of the mission.
Mm-hmm.
The second part said, and if the sela is preserved and there's enough sela there to sustain the tree, all you need then is maintain a connection to your sela to be clutched from all of them.
You're talking about, so you're telling me that there's two separate halachas. One is a halacha of
sela,
and what is the halacha of the root system connecting to the sela to the tree?
That's what it implied here.
I don't know.
Sela was the root.
I thought the sela was the tree itself connected to all the
ball.
What?
The root ball.
I know, but I thought the tree was connected to all this big blob of dirt which was directly underneath the tree. Hold on a second. Let me look at note 12. Tree was uprooted entirely from the root ball.
Aside from one root.
This is contrasted to the previous two cases in which the root ball was dislodged. Correct.
We're talking about a different thing. The first two cases talking about the root ball, and this is talking about the roots. So if the root ball is still in the ground, then as long as you have a root connecting to it, you're okay.
But what Shlomo was asking was, the Tadashav in both of the first two set of cases is that it had to have been lichyos. The Rashb is learning this has nothing to do with lichyos. Nothing.
This little root, that's the
diameter of the machat, doesn't have to be able to sustain the tree.
So it's not a contradiction to the first part of the Mishnah.
Why not?
Because we're talking about different things. One is talking about the root ball. The root ball has to be intact with enough to maintain the tree. But the root that connects it to it doesn't have to be intact to maintain the tree. It just has to show you that there's still a connection.
I don't know. It's very difficult.
It's a qualification.
Very difficult. It's not what it says. You could read it that way, but I wouldn't read it that way. Because personally, when I read the word root ball, that means there are roots in the ball that connect to the tree. Okay, but...
That's why
I don't think...
If you have to go out and buy a tree, you're going to get it with the root ball.
Sweet, welcome. Okay, we're on 8A2. So, we're going to start reading the English as an introductory. Let's see what it says here. Some plants, you use layering, which we call mavrich.
Yeah.
That's where you bend an existing branch buried in the ground, its end protruding, it grows its own roots, develops into a new plant, generally speaking, as long as a layered branch, okay, mavrich, is still connected to the parent tree, right? You've got two connections. You've got two connections for sustainment, right? Let's suppose this green line is going to be the branch. So I bend this down into the dirt, and now it beautiful, no? And now it's growing over here. It's developing its own root system over here, and it's still connected to the parent tree. So that's right. So that's mavrich. So its status concerning all is the same as a parent tree, and therefore, even though it was just newly, as long as it's connected, no new orla, okay?
So you sever it.
However, once the layer is severed from the tree, as soon as you cut off this top of the green thing from the book, it is viewed as if it were newly planted and becomes subject to 3 new years of orla at that point.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we said with the tree.
Yeah, we spoke out this Mishnah, basically. Elon Shinako Vobrecha, if you have an old tree that was uprooted but it had a layered branch that remained attached to the ground, and the old tree can continue to be sustained by the layer. So in that case, it's like this. So imagine my book now, which is the old tree, completely detached from the ground, but the Vobrecha is the only thing still connected to the master tree, and the master tree is able now to use this offspring to live off of. Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Sometimes, you know, you have to rely on your kindlach to feed you as the tenth.
Hope you never
sorry about that. I'm sorry. Okay, so it says, Chazra Zekein Aliyos Kebrecha. The old tree then becomes like the layered branch, which means we all become subject to Arla together, because now we're newly, it's like the same way if I were to...
Basically, it's the same thing, but they didn't sever it. Then
instead of severing it from where it was connected to the old tree, we just severed the whole tree from the ground. That's the same thing, basically.
Right.
Hivricha, shana achashana, if you layer a tree 1 year after another, so on successive branches. So the way I understood it, tell me if I'm wrong, I thought the pshat is, year one, you did this, and then year two, you did this. So every year you're doing another one, and it's just a line, a sequence of brachos.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the case. Yeah. So, the nifsaka, and the first layer was severed from the parent tree. So now the original connection to the parent tree was the net monomishrash and nifsaka. Then all the early years for all the subsequent layers start from that moment. Right? Because the count was held up, so to speak, because there was a connection to the old tree, the master tree. Once you connect the disconnect the master tree, everything it starts fresh.
That's a huge
pretty big kiddush.
At the same time.
Because they all started at the same time.
No.
They detach from the master tree, but, you know.
A was detached to B, and B was detached to C, and C was detached to C.
But the start point is the detachment. So they all are detached.
That's what the finish is, because otherwise you might have got the start point is when the tree was in the ground, which is 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's what we said, right. Right.
And then, okay. And, you know, the variant box speaks out the grog. Not nipsaka, but nibraka. So taka, not like this chiddush, but like.
Meaning what? So
meaning the 3 years of Arlov, all the layers are reckoned from the time of first layer, to which all the subsequent layers are still connected, originally to root in the ground. Not nipsaka.
What do you mean?
Nibraka.
So what does that mean? Explain that.
The severing of the layer from its parent tree merely prevents the layer from continuing to share the parent's tree exemption from Arla, but does not make the layer equivalent to a newly planted growth.
So you're saying that so we're going to call it breaker number A, breaker number B, C,
yeah.
D, and E.
Yeah.
So now you're telling me when I break A from the parent tree,
yeah.
It only is going to make a difference as far as A is concerned,
yeah.
But not as far as B is concerned?
Yeah, no, he's not saying that.
What is he saying?
He's saying the way we regard Nipsaka, when you break it, it's all considered planted right now.
Yeah.
That's only if you have one break.
The way he's saying that's what he's saying. The way he's saying nivracha, it depends when that first layer took root. If it had already, like you were saying.
But that makes sense to me. If the first layer took root years ago, there's no Arla problem here.
Right. Because in the present case, if the 3-year Arla count for the first layer, and consequently all the layers connected is counted from the time the layer originally took root.
Right.
E.g., if the first layer was severed 2 years after it took root, the entire series of layers would then be subject to a single year of Arla.
That's talking about what you did, Habracha, from A from B, or B to C,
it's all
C to D.
He's not changing the case.
The case is the same. Let's just speak out.
The way I'm reading the case is, you have the mother tree,
yes.
And you have branch A, which you do 1 year, you
yes.
have branch B, which you do a second year, you have branch C, you do a third year.
It
doesn't all come from the same
one. Oh, no, this is a series.
Coming from the first layer. You layered A, and then you took an offshoot off of A, stuck that into the ground.
No.
That's correct. Let's make sure we all agree with this, because this is very important.
Well, take a look at 18. Initially, he layered a branch of the parent tree and it took root. A year later, after that layer grew to sufficient maturity, he took a shoot from that.
A shoot from the layer.
Layer in turn. While the first layer was still connected.
So you're coming off of A,
yeah.
And you're taking a layer from A and creating B.
That's not true. Yeah.
Okay?
So
explain this gra. A did what?
So hold on a second. So the gra is not changing the case. We're going to still have the same case, which is after you've got this series of trees, you're now going to be mafstik the parent tree from A.
Okay.
Now the question is, do we say the way I originally said it, which was, now we start counting Arla years for everything now going forward. So it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, all the way down the line.
Right.
The Gra says, no, that is not correct. Mishah shenivracha, which means from the time that, in other words, if the first layering took root and was in the ground for, let's say, 2 years, okay?
And then
I made another layer.
Okay.
So B became 2 years after A had already been in the ground for 2 years.
Okay.
Then I sever it from the parent tree.
Consider those 2 years Arla years?
Those are considered Arla years for C.
Even though at that time they were not,
A, you start 1, 2, 3, start fresh. But B, you say it already has 2 years under its belt because of A. That's what he's saying. I don't understand the svara behind the Gra at all.
No, he says A also, you have 2 years under its belt.
Why is that?
Because it took root 2 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Hold on, let me look at the Gra again.
Let me reread it.
The 3 years of Ra'ala for all of the layers, all of the layers, are reckoned from the first time, from the time the first layer originally took root, not from when it was severed.
Exactly.
According to this reading, the severing of a layer from its parent tree merely prevents the layer from continuing to share the exemption, but does not make the layer newly planted. All right. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. So So according to the Gra, after 3 years, all bets are off. Once you sever it from the tree, the parent tree, it's no Arla at all. It was Yotze Arla. In other words, the parent tree prevents Arla from beginning, but it won't prevent Arla from being counted. It's just a very subtle difference. Okay.
Yeah, but as Morty's pointing out, it's not la halacha. That's the Talmidim wrote the Gra here on the page, but in the Shulchan
Aruch. Yeah, the various difficulties.
He sounds like significant.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up, Avram. Thanks for.
It's interesting. No, I brought it up because Eitan said that part.
Yeah.
Eitan said it.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. 100%. Okay. Next page, right? 8-2, 8-2, 8-B. Sipuk. There's no one should be in a rush tonight.
Bob was here at
11:40.
Yeah, and also
he wants
to come.
It's okay. Sipuk can't find him. Okay. If you're grafting grapevines. Is grafting, let's see, this is, it's past its early years, and it was extended by grafting onto it a branch that was severed from another grapevine. That's known as a S-C-I-O-N. How do you pronounce that? Scion?
Scion.
Like the car. Okay, so you got that case, so this is a little different. So here you have a vine. Now I take a loose vine, not connected to anything, and the way I view it is I take a little potato peeler, peel a little piece off the side of the vine, and a little off the vine that's connected. I put the two together, I put a little mud around it, and then I put masking tape around the whole thing, and then they grow together. Everything's done with masking tape, by the way. Okay.
The original vine is
5 years old.
The second
vine is a complete loose vine. It's not in the ground.
How can it not be in the ground? Every vine is in the ground.
It's a cut vine.
I
grafted a new piece of vine from a pre-existing plant.
And it makes no difference whether that plant was 3 years or
not. Makes no difference.
Yeah, that's making a difference.
No, we're going to see what it says. So this is the case. That's the sipuk hakfanim. That's the case. Let's see what it says. The sipuk al sipuk. And you do graft on graft so that you can continue making this line longer and longer and longer, right? Afalpi shehivrichem ba'aretz, even if shortly thereafter you layer them in the ground, mutter, they're permitted. In other words, this is the same yisod, because the original vine that they were grafted to is not our law, so it's, they all are good, right?
Because it passed its early years.
Right. Anything here?
Three, number two,
we'll just read the second paragraph. The Mishnah teaches, however, regardless of whether the layer takes root first or the scion bonds to the rootstock first, again, the rootstock is the original one, right? The entire grafted portion, including all successive scions, obtain the early exempt status on the rootstock. That's it. Okay, that's what we're saying. So that's the Gemara Vayik.
That's
the Mishnah Vayik.
That's different than we said with the tree.
It's basically the same.
It's the Yesod Hadavar is the same, which is that once you've got a connection to a parent, that's good enough to pot you from oral Arla. Okay? Remeir Aymer. Okay?
Meir. Yeah, the Chiddush he said you missed that first paragraph.
I don't have to read it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Dovid
wanted to know what the
Kiddush
was.
No, he heard the Kiddush. I'm sure he heard the Kiddush. Okay, Rameir Aymer, you can look at it later himself. Markim shekoicha yofem mutar. Where the strength of the rootstock is adequate to sustain the graft, okay, then they're permitted. But makim shekoicha ra osur. So, right, so you can imagine that as this line gets longer and longer, it's going to require a lot more, what's it called?
Sustenance.
Sustenance, or sap, whatever you want to say, that goes through the root, right, to keep it alive. So those are going to, as they get longer, you're going to need to be able to put it in the ground and for it to develop its own root system. So if that's what you need, your mayor is saying, then that's already considered no longer, the original connection is not significant. Okay?
For, even without severing. That's
yes, that's correct.
Agriculturally, is
he says like this, if the rootstock is hardy and moist, then it's imparting sufficient nourishment.
But if it's frail and dry,
right? So it depends. What is your connection to the Elderin? What is it? Is it a fresh connection? Are you keeping all of them and hugging with the others? Or is it dried out? This is so good. Okay. The Mishnah ruled above.
Does the same thing apply to the previous case of the Ilan?
No.
If one Ilan, the second Ilan, Yibricha.
Right.
What if the connection is not really good enough to sustain it?
Does the mayor argue?
Would the mayor argue? I don't know.
He didn't argue.
Sounds like the Gemara has been talked about.
I haven't learned the Gemara.
The Gemara will explain that the dispute that I can't remember to specifically the case of the Son
of the Right. Okay. Good question. The Mishnah ruled above. When a layered branch is severed from the parent tree, it no longer shares the parent exemption from arlo. Now, we're going to consider a case of a layer that was severed after it had already begun producing fruit. So, brecha, you have a layered branch, nisaka, and it gets severed from the parent tree, v'him leya peris, and the brecha is filled with fruit. If the fruit subsequently increases the size of one part in 200, it's all forbidden. In other words, the fact that it's full of fruit is irrelevant. Like we said before, becoming chayv in arla has nothing to do with how old you are. It has to do with when you're considered planted, right? So since it's considered planted, it doesn't matter if it's lay of pears. But what is the issue? The Mishnah is really telling me that the bittel. The bittel of Arla is kind of a Messiah, right? Okay. Like he says in 5, at the time the layer was severed, the fruits are definitely permitted. They grew while it was attached. But there's some that continued to grow afterwards, so they grew as Arla produce. All right. Okay, fine. Nothing else there. If it can survive, the Mishnah means to say like this. If it was able to survive with nothing more than the earth that uprooted with it, then it's exempted. Otherwise, it would be chayiv and arwa. So what's the Gemara really adding here? What?
If in theory, even if in actuality it went off and it was the taka was not...
The case, I think, is
where there was a root ball and there was enough lichyais.
Yes.
And then when he replanted it, the new ground took over and the old ground fell away. So it was not.
If I took my shovel when I was replanting it and knocked off all the dirt while I was putting it into the ground, would that be this case?
I don't know about in the ground, but I'm not sure about that particular
case. Okay.
Yes. I think that's what it means.
All right, very good. Kamihi v'shorosh, so how big should this root be? So we said the thickness of a needle. Chizkiya shalsa, Chizkiya asked the following question. When it says an uprooted tree...
The root thing that we said, remember?
So his question was, Pachas Mikan Katolashu, do we say that if I have a tree that is connected with a root which is thinner than the we're calling it the what are we going to call this?
Stretching needle.
Stretching needle. If you have a you know small root, is that considered that the top of the tree is connected to the ground, or is it completely not connected to the ground? In other words, he's asking a really fundamental question. What's the pshat in the halacha of the stretching needle? Is the stretching needle just a shear in order for it to be considered, this is called connected to the ground? Or is it just, it's connected to the ground regardless of whether it's that thick or even thinner? But the shaila is only whether it can sustain it, and something which is thinner than that can sustain it, and therefore we have to start counting all again. And what's the nafkamina? So the Gemara says, Ishtakavloya, sorry. The nafkamina is, if it's connected to the ground, and I bow down to it, so remember the drasha is, Eloheim al Heharim, Eloheharim, Eloheim by Avodah Zarah. That is their Getchkes, their Avodah are on the mountain, but the mountain is not the Getchkes. It's Mechumel Akarka, you can't make that into a Getchkes. If I bow down to this tree, and it's still considered connected, the tree would not become awesome.
What? Not Sheira is connected to the ground.
It's planted for that purpose originally. This is not planted for that purpose. This is I'm bowing down to. I'm making a new Isser.
Oh, you're making it?
Yeah. Kaisano of Gite Noshim. And the second case is, the rule is, V'chasa v'nasa, and it's not the possible way to get. And if something's v'chubar to something else, then you have to, and you have to cut it. So it's prat, the Gemara Darshan, and getting prat la ksiva, the B'is ksiva, kitzitza unasina, where you have to cut it off, so then it's possible to be a get. So
put it in tzach.
What?
We could have thrown in a case of schach, right?
Yeah. That's right. If you would have been able to use
the
hidlof zelash, right? Very good. It would have been enough. We'll go with schach. Very good. So Amrit. So anyway, that was Chizkiah's shaila. So Chizkiah asked a general question, and then the Gemara says a very strange thing. This is unusual. Then Chazav by Chizkiah. Chizkiah changed his mind. He says, "No, you know what? I'm backing off on this whole shaila. Make believe I can never ask this shaila." Right? Chazav by Chizkiah. He reversed his opinion. So then the Gemara is going to be studying this chazar very closely. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Min hadoch chazar bei. It was deduced that he was chazar from this question. So the Gemara.
We derived
it from something else. Daf Tes, the Gemara says, "Dam Rabbi Yochanan Shem Rabbi Yanai, Mikiven Sheyesh Machat Shel Mitoi." If the root has the thickness of a stretching needle, Dover Bori Sheyesh Loishana Sholoshanim, then it's for sure that it's 3 years old. You would never have developed a thickness of a mitoi unless you were 3 years old. That's what he said. So that changes a little bit, right? So we're using this as like the way you count the rings on a trunk to determine how many years the tree is. So this is the same. This is the same kind of idea that the science behind the root is it has to be a certain thickness. So the Gemara says now Chizkiah Shoal. Here is the key. Chizkiah asked the following question: Shlish Machat Shana. What if it's 1/3 of?
Did you skip something here?
I'm on 9A1.
9A1. Oh, sorry.
No problem. Okay, Chizkiah Shoal, so he asked, Shlish Machat Shana. It is the same way that a Machat is 3 years, so would you say that if it's 1/3 of a Machat, it would be equal 1 year? In other words...
That's not necessarily true.
In which case, what?
It's
grown for 1 year, and another 2/3 will be the other additional years, right? Shnei shlishim, shnei shanim. If it was 2/3 of the width, is it 2 years? And then chavraya boy machat to shlish, if it was equal to needle plus another 1/3, so it would be 4 years. In other words, it would not even be chayav and netar boy anymore, right? So that was the question. So now, from that question that Chizkiah asked, or in Tamar, Lo Chazar Bei, if you're going to say Chizkiah didn't change his mind, then Lo Mashal came. Why was he asking this? In other words, if all he was asking, if Chizkiah's whole shaila before was, is it considered connected to the ground or not connected to the ground? But as far as, being able to live is concerned, It makes no difference. As long as it's that thickness, it's able to live. But if it's not able to live, then even if it's connected, it's not negeya orla. It's considered, as far as orla is concerned, disconnected completely. So then why is he asking these silly questions about third, two-thirds? It makes no difference. Once it's disconnected from the ground, the only time that it will be considered connected is when it reconnects, and then you start to count afresh. But since he's asking this question, you see, he changed his mind about how to approach this root. Right? So again, let's read it inside the English to make it short. It's clear. So what difference would it make whether the exact age of the root can be determined based
on
Lola Shalakane? Why did he inquire so? I.e., what difference would it make whether the exact age of the root can be determined on the basis of its thickness? If the tree is anyhow considered completely detached, its subsequent replanting requires 3 new years of orla, regardless of the age of the existing root. By asking the question, he indicates that at some point he changed his mind about that original assumption in favor of Yanai's approach, which maintains that even a root thinner than a stretching needle is an attachment to the ground, but still cannot exempt the tree from orla, since it's less than 3 years old. So now, Omer Abiyona, okay, now, the way he says the introductory note here is a little important here. So, how do you know which one came first? Okay, did his question on Omer Aleph, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say Omer Aleph, did the question here, actually on Omer Beis, the question when it says Kiski Shal Pachas Mikan Batolish Mahu, right? Did that question come first, or did this question that he's asking over here Shlish Machatrona, did that come first? Which you're assuming Shlish Machatrona came second, and that I'm deducing that he was Kaiser from the first question. How do you know which one came first?
Before I was against it, I was for it.
Yeah. So Amar Abiyana Minil Sechazabay, it's reasonable to say he recanted from his own approach, which was based on the premise that a tree connected to the ground with only a thin root is considered fully detached. So Amar Abiyana Mishim Abiyanai, Mikim Shesh Makat Shom Itchoi, Davar Bari Sheyesh L'Shal Hashanim, that he made a statement, Rabbi Yochanan, that once it has a stretch, it's the thickness of a stretching needle, it's a sure thing to say that it has been in existence for 3 years.
And therefore, what has to do with detachment?
It makes sense that he abandoned the initial approach of the Mishnah. So let's look at number 7. Rav Yanai explained the Mishnah's exemption in the case of a thick root arises from the fact that a root this size must have emerged at least 3 years earlier.
Right.
This means in the case involving a thin root, the tree remains subject to orla, not because it's considered detached, but only because the root that connects to the ground is necessarily less than 3 years old. A reasonable scenario, then, is he initially surmised on his own that a tree connected by a thin root is connected detached. He ultimately recanted and decided to learn like Rav Yanai. This is not 100% clear to me exactly how the Gemara goes like this. But, I tried to work this out. I can't explain it that well.
Keep reading on the top, because the reverse would be inexplicable.
The reverse would be inexplicable, for if he initially accepted Rav Yanai's interpretation, there'd be no grounds for him to later retract and offer a different interpretation. How does that work exactly? Let's work it out.
If he holds that, like Rav Yanai, that if the whole idea is how old the tree is, the root is showing you, the root of that thickness shows you how old the tree is. Right.
Right.
So once it's 3 years, you don't have to worry about orla anymore, right? That's how Rav Yanai understands it. It has nothing to do with whether it's attached or detached, right?
Right.
Is that true?
That's correct.
So then how can you have this other question about the Tolishu? It has nothing to do with Tolishu.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, so that's what he's saying.
That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
In other words, once Rav Yanai made his assumption that it's a scientific question of whether this tree is 3 years old or not, it's not dependent on whether it's attached or not attached. That has nothing to do with the question. Okay.
You just have to know how thick that stretching
is. That's all you need to know.
Exactly, the stretching is. Right.
Amar B'yaisi, here's the opposing opinion. Afilu yesh by shalashonim, imbay kamachar shalmitoy, that even if a root has been in existence for 3 years, it doesn't necessarily mean it has the thickness of a stretching needle. In other words, he's asking now a scientific question that contradicts Rabbi Yochanan's statement, right? This realization forced Chizkiya to conclude that it had a different reason for applying the restrictions of Orla after being connected to the ground with a root thinner than a stretching needle. It's because a root this thin does not legally maintain the tree's connection to the ground. That's what in other words, maybe the basis of Rabbi Yochanan was based on a scientific fact that he observed was not correct. In his observation, in his scientific experiments, he saw he had roots which were connected for 3 years, which did not have the thickness of a stretching needle. Therefore, the whole shaila is only a shaila of, are you connected to the ground or not connected to the ground? Thick as a stretching needle is connected to the ground. Less than that is not connected to the ground. Not that we're using it to prove how old the tree is. That's Rav Yaisi. Rav Yudon, Masisa Masayla Rav Yaisi, I have proof from Rav Yaisi. A Rebbe, Afke Sha'amu B'nois Hamesh B'nois Sheish B'nois Sheva, that we're talking about, this is the halacha of planting. What does he say over here? Shvi Yisir does not begin until Rosh Hashanah, right in footnote 11. Right? An orchard, you're not allowed to plant from Shavuos. Now, the Mishnah says that when it comes to saplings, you can go all the way up till Tishrei. Okay? So, we're saying here that when we say saplings, what's the definition of a sapling? How old does a tree have to be? So now we're saying different species have different definitions of when they're considered saplings. So that's what's going through here.
Sapling is an early stage.
Early stage. So what's considered early stage that you can plant it within 30 days of Tishrei? So he says like this. It's Chamesh, Sheish, and Sheva, and which in the He gives examples. Bigfonim benois chamesh. If it's a grapevine, 5 years of saplings. In other words, if a grapevine is up to 5 years old, you can plant it within 30 days of Tishrei. But if it's 6 years old...
But it's already planted? I don't understand.
You mean replanted?
We're talking about be makrish the ground, to make the ground softer and water it and make it do whatever you need to do to help it grow again. So 5 years for a grapevine. Te'enim, 6 years. Figs are 6 years. Zeitim, olives, sheva, 7 years. Okay? So these are the different years. There's an issue because it looks like you're helping it grow on Shemitah year. So you have to add.
So if you do this more than 30 days before Sefer Shvi'as,
you have to add to the Isser Shvi'as. So it goes back to Shvi'as.
Unless it's young.
If it's young, then because it's going to be considered double ha'avod, so they're matur it within 30 days. Okay. So, in Achame, what we see, this young fig tree, like what was the number of years for figs? Six? Is that what we said? So he says, but we see this young fig tree, Hadei Marvisa, the Te'ino, Asiva Peri. We see this young fig tree is bringing forth abundant fruit even before it's reached its sixth year. So how can you say a fig tree is its sixth year is still considered a sapling? What's going on over here?
Saplings don't produce fruit.
Yeah, the idea is if it's producing fruit, then it doesn't need this special care. That all the way up until Tishrei, it's considered mature enough to produce fruit, that shouldn't be considered a sapling. That's the assumption here. So the Gemara says, Amar Abudim Barib Trifon, Lo'uvya. This is how he answered the question. The answer is like this. There's two ways in which a fig tree can grow larger. It can either grow taller, or it can grow wider. So, if it grows wider, then it can mature before 6 years and it can produce a lot of fruit. But if it's growing taller in height rather than a whiff, then the fig tree of that kind remains in the sapling stage even into the sixth year. So that was his answer to that question. So we're quoting something completely out of context. It's a totally different halacha, but we have this conversation, the Shakavataya, about that halacha, and we're going to derive from this the following diyot. So we see from the above, right? Some trees develop more rapidly with respect to the width of the trunk. Others develop more rapidly with regard to the height. So we're going to apply that principle to the root as well. So whereas some roots become progressively thicker as they age, others grow longer instead of thicker. So in other words, the observation that Rabbi Yossi made, that he saw that there was a tree that was more than 3 years old, and yet it had a root which was thinner than the stretching needle, that's because of this principle that we see here. We see that it's possible to grow longer and thinner and not to have that kind of development. Okay.
So you can't tell, basically,
the needle rule is not a rule.
Right.
The needle rule, yeah.
It's
the
not a rule.
Needle rule, is. There's some exceptions. Elon Shinagama Brecha. Okay, now if you choose an uprooted but had a layered branch, I was going to say the following. The best thing to do at this point is, if I turn your attention to the Bir Hagra, because he has the best girsa here. That's why I think that it's correct. Take a look.
Third line.
The third line of the Gra. Okay, the Bir Hagra. So, first thing is, he gets rid of the word Uvoi Bracha. The first, because those are extra words, it's not necessary. So, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yechon Uvoi Bracha. Pirish. Shemafarish m'loshen Brecha. Mafarish hatam dekra le Brecha. So why do we call something a Brecha? Because the Brecha is a blessing. It's a blessing because you're causing the parent tree to propagate, which is a bracha, right? Amramona is barnash kain laha bracha brecha. Pirish mashem mavrich karun la brecha. In other words, when you do this havracha, you call it brecha. And commando amar bo bruch Hashem, like it says by Elazar of Avraham, miloshen bracha. So I'm not sure exactly what the Gemara is doing here exactly.
Lavan said that, by the way. Lavan Amar
Lo Eliezer. Okay, good. So Bo Bruch Hashem. So what is the Gemara doing here? It's just saying, I guess, that the Gemara, that the word Brecha and Bracha are interrelated. People use these Lashinas when they're talking about blessed things. I'm not sure exactly what the point is. Anyway. It's the, was it epitomology? Is that the word? Etymology?
The etymology? One is insects and one is words, and I can't remember which is
the word. Etymology is the word.
And then what's the insect?
Entomology.
Okay. Whatever it is. Reb Zeir, Reb Yaisi, Reb Lazar, Reb Shem, Reb Hanina, and there's a bunch of names here. And Reb Bob, Reb Pia, Reb Lazar, Reb Hanina, Reb Shem, Reb Hanina, Ben Gamliel. They also said it. So it says, Yolda Shesipkol is Kena. If you had a young tree that was still subject to Arla, that was grafted via one of its branches onto the trunk of an old tree that was already past its third year, Tohara Hayalda, the young tree, is thereby purified of its Arla status.
Oh, no, that the whole tree was grafted?
So, let me see where he says it over here. Again, the Gra. Tohara Hayalda, Pirish. Asher Hayatkiwa, Kaidim Hasifak Arla, even though before you attached it to the mother tree, it was Arla. Kiven Shesipka Liz Kena Tahara Misham Arla. Once you attach it to the older tree, it's Matahara. It takes it out of the status of Arla.
Shlomi, do you know which rule applies here? Tell me, just take a guess, which is the rule that governs this? Your favorite.
Shoresh. Potter, Potter.
Sharish Potter, Piter.
This is it?
If you don't know Sharish Potter, you are in trouble.
Okay. Okay, next. So, one second, let me get back to
one. I lost. I didn't make it up, Ruffles.
Okay, good, good, very good.
Take a look at 11.
Yeah, 11.
So let's see the Gemara by Torah. I'm up here about Baal. The Mishnah says that. Sifra Gefonim.
So it's not a branch, it's the whole sapling that's in the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You have to do it through a branch.
You attach it afterwards. So you planted a sapling, it grew a year or two, let's say, and then you attached one of the branches to a mother tree, the whole sapling becomes mother mishmala.
Even though the branch is not feeding the sapling.
Even though that's not the main feeding. It's creating a feeding.
It wouldn't be enough, even if it wouldn't be enough to sustain.
Even if it wouldn't be enough to sustain, that's correct. It doesn't have anything to do with sustainment now.
Why not?
It's because it's a rule that if you connect.
Is this the chicken rule with the ants and the grain?
Zavzagarim, you mean?
Yeah.
It might be a Zavzagarim, then it might be. Could be. That's a good possibility. You want to say something to me?
This is a legal loophole how to get around Orla.
What Eitan is asking, though, is the question is this a stira to what we said before, that we require that you have to be able to sustain in order to be putter from Orla in its original clump of earth? Over here, we don't say that.
We also said that if you plant the tree on the boundary and it gets part here and part there, we split the tree, and wherever you get your yunuka, that's what it's considered.
According to Shem Gamliel.
Right.
Yeah, but not according to Rebbe.
The way the Hebrew says, this says, Nechsheve kechelek ma'ilan hazake.
Right.
Nothing to do with
it. So you're saying it's a din
of bittul.
It's a din of bittul. According to that, it's like a din of bittul. It's like a little bittul.
It's part of it because it's getting its nourishment now from the old tree.
Partly.
It's still rooted.
Yeah.
It's got a major root system.
Which
one's
getting the major?
Two years been in the ground.
It's connected to a tree that's already past Orla. It makes the new one part.
That's an assumption.
That's what it said.
Getting most of its yunuka.
Okay.
It says it's drawing nourishment.
Right, so we're all in agreement.
Okay, very good.
That's a third.
Is this going to potter it from Ravai as well?
Yeah, it's completely potter. Masnisa Amar Kain. So we're going to say, we're going to see this same halacha in our Mishnah. Sipuk ufanim simchal sipuk. We have this graft upon graft. Afal bishah hivricha bo'aretz. Mutter. Even if subsequently you put them into the ground, they're permitted, right? The chash loymar shema hishrisha hayaldo ad shul tisachem nazkeno. Isn't it possible, right? That it was, that let's see, how does he translate this? Well, he has a whole lot of thing here. In other words, let me just tell you what they're worried about here. They're worried about the following. They're worried about that when I go ahead and I bend down the branch into the ground, maybe, so now it's a race, right? What's going to happen first? Am I going to get some roots on the ground first? Or is the place where I grafted the two vines together, are they going to grow together first? So if the root takes place first, so then that would create a problem of our law, because now it's growing from the ground. So what do I care about? This connection is not functioning yet as a connection yet.
I'm not following. What did he connect to what here?
You want to speak out the case? The case here is you had.
You're talking about the sipuk.
Sipuk, even though it's hivri.
Yeah, you take the grapevine and then you just take a branch and then you connect it to another grapevine.
You connect it in the ground.
So you're doing both.
So you're
grafting it and you're connecting it. You're doing both.
Right. And it's a race.
Okay.
The Mishnah doesn't
concern itself with the race.
Right.
That's the Raya.
That's the Raya.
The Mishnah says you're putter from Orla because it's connected. Even though maybe it took root first. So you see that even if it took root first, the connection
doesn't matter, is because even if it does take root first, once it's connected to the old, it's undone.
It's undone, correct.
It's old,
which is the halacha of the old.
That's the halacha. That's what he's saying.
Right, that's exactly.
I'm not clear on the case. He's taking the vine and putting half of it in the ground, and
yes.
half of it
is connected to
it.
It's an old, right?
It took a branch,
yeah.
not a vine. It took a branch.
A branch of what?
Of a vine, let's say a vine branch.
A cut vine.
Completely disconnected.
Completely
all
disconnected.
It is a
cut vine.
All it is a connection. He grafts it onto one. Onto one
to
thing,
a vine that's
which,
already,
right, and then he puts the other end into the ground. And we don't know whether the ground one is going to take root before the grafting is going to take root.
Right.
We don't care. That's the point.
That's what the Gemara's right. Raya is.
It's putter.
Is that
Mishnah says it's putter.
Because the existing grapevine was already putter from Marlo. It's already old.
Now, if you will contend that a plant that is already subject to Allah cannot be purified in its old status by grafting one of its branches to the old tree, be concerned in the Mishnah's case that perhaps the young vine took root in the ground and then became subject to Allah before it bonded with the old.
We don't care.
How then could the Mishnah rule that the sign is exempt from Allah? Evidently, the Mishnah considers irrelevant whether or not it did first or not. Okay, next. Rav Hananya, writer of Hillel. To Rav Yehuda, the Gemara now is rejecting the proof. Why? Because it could be, this is coming out by Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mis'achehi Achel Tashish. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's never a race, it's always true, scientifically, for some reason. Rabbi Yehuda is making a statement that it's always going to connect with the
graft
first. So if that's the view, then there's no relevance. Okay, so it wouldn't be a raya. Now, the only thing I was doing is it's, if it comes out of Rabbi Huda, there's no writing from the Mishnah. Fine. Now,
He says, Akaba, 3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
Footnote
says that's what he holds
in
the trees.
Right. Rabbi Yosef Yehoshua, even if the Mishnah does not follow Rabbi Huda's Shita, Shosharashim Ein Bahan Mamish. Roots are of no consequence. Means that even if there was some roots that took place, it's of no consequence at all to prevent it from becoming a putter from the post or root stock.
That statement, which we have before, right? I don't know how many blocks. That goes against this idea of Yolder should still put this thing, doesn't it? Once you say
okay, so let's hold on a second. Hold on.
So then, he say maybe
in
with
English.
What?
He addresses this in the English.
He does.
Yeah.
He say maybe with the tarkava is going to be higher.
Under where he says Shurashimayim
Mikarus. Yeah. There are adequate to prevent the sign from becoming exempt as a result of its connection to the post or the rootstock. But in the case of a young tree grafted onto an old tree, the fact that the young tree possesses strong, fully developed roots might cause it to remain subject to Allah, even though it has been grafted onto a tree that is exempt. Okay? It's the young scion, it's too weak a root system to make any impact. That's basically the idea.
Yeah.
It emerges, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Hanina's ruling that a young tree grafted onto an old tree is exempt from our law. The Gemara expresses doubt about whether this is in fact an accurate representation of Rabbi Yochanan's view. Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi Yossi, Beferish Shemaitzim, and Rabbi Yochanan. Did you hear it explicitly? Oh, means Shitasei, what you were inferring this from another discussion. Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're on Daf Yud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tani Kain, Hikdash Rachach Nota, Batamino Orla. Let's suppose I have a plant sitting in a bowl, and I makdish the plant. So now the plant is hektish. And then I go ahead and I plant that plant in the ground, and it's putter from arla because hektish is putter from arla. It's not lachem. But if it was nata, you planted it first, and then you were makdish it, then chayav arla, you're chayav in arla. So maybe when you heard Rabbi Yochanan make that halacha, Atzum sovereign memory, you thought, Hektish potter, Uzakena potter. Hektish is potter, and an old tree that's beyond its 3 years also potter. So they're subject to the same thing. You might have assumed, just as Rabbi Yochanan holds of the tree that is already subject to Arla, does not later become exempt if it's declared Hektish, despite the fact that it will now derive some of its nourishment from Arla exempt roots. So maybe too, Rabbi Yochanan would hold that a young tree that was grafted onto an old tree does not become exempt from arla. The young tree is already subject to arla at that same time. That if that was your if that was what you made that assumption from, lo damya, that's not a good dimyan. Hektish rohu lefdoise v'chayvai. Hektish, you can go be paida, and therefore it could become chayv after your paida. So therefore, it's not relevant. So islach gabezakena roy lachshav v'lo lachayva. But does you're going to say you have some machshava that has to do with making an old tree susceptible to arla? There's no such thing. You have some machshava. Therefore, when a branch of a young tree is grafted onto the young branch trunk of an old tree, the young tree becomes exempt on account of the grafting, and that's the way it ends.
So what you see, chusavus overcomes your actions.
Yes,
you can show you a branch. Don't worry about it. New plan.